Chapter 2. Poor authors and smart authors are different. So, Carrie, you say the way that we think about our books shapes the results that we experience, that we just the very fundamental concept of how we think about our books, how we view our books, is going to change the entire experience as an author.
Absolutely. You know, and I want to encourage people that are listening, don't think that this just has to be about nonfiction. You know, Mike, that I've written fiction. I've written Christian books. I've written personal growth books. I've written business books. You know, our authors are in the children's space, the health space, education, historical fiction, you name it. Like, this model has worked over the last 17 years. I've trained over 250,000 authors, most of the time through webinars. So, Mike, a few weeks ago, Brenda, one of our teammates, looked at me and had a truth-telling conversation and said, Carrie, I've been telling you for years to write this signature book. You know, the book that kind of people know you by, which is that you view books very differently than most. You view a book as a business, not a business card. And I'll tell you what, Mike, it hit me pretty hard. You know, she's been telling me for years. In fact, she told me the other day, she's like, I've been telling you this for years. But for whatever reason, it stuck about a month ago where it just hit. And I don't know, it's the weirdest feeling, but it's like I knew that I knew that I knew the next thing in life I needed to do was write this book. And wow. Sometimes we delay the easy thing. Have you ever noticed that? Like, a message is too familiar, it's too simple, because we've said it literally hundreds of times.
Sure, I could talk about that at any time. Also, my audience has heard it a million times. Yes. I don't need to make it official. It's already out there.
Yes. And here's what I realized. Sometimes we can get bored of our own purpose. We can get bored of our own genius. In other words, right now I want someone to listen and realize that I'm talking to them. Like, their book, they might be like, oh my gosh, I'm so bored with this book. It's been around for years, this message. What I'm saying is, just the other day I had an experience where I paired up two people that didn't know each other, and they both had to share their purpose with each other. This was at the Show Up, Filled Up workshop.
Ooh, that's a little intimidating.
Yeah. And so they were strangers. We broke up into different groups. They went out in the hallway and they both left kind of like average feeling. When they walked back in the room, they both were beaming, like on fire. And we're like, what happened? And they just said, oh my gosh. You know, one guy's name, one was Julie Brown and one was a guest that we had. And he flew in from Florida and they had never met each other. And they both were on fire. And we said, what happened? And they said, oh my gosh, Julie shared her purpose with me and it's going to save me $1 million in my business. And I didn't even realize that this is possible. And I'm going to share this with everyone. And then Julie's just beaming because she's excited because she forgot her own genius. And to her, it was like, oh, I always say this, but that's what I'm talking about. When something's so familiar to you, you're probably a genius at it. And when people don't know it, and then when they have a need for it, it can literally be like life changing. Mm-hmm. So I want everyone to realize today that your message is life changing. It just needs to be packaged in the right way. And we're going to talk about that. One of the most valuable brands on planet Earth, and this is a great way to set up the whole book. Do you know one of the most valuable brands?
Oh, the ones that come to mind are Amazon, that's Facebook.
Yeah. And you might be, I'm using one right now.
Apple.
Yes. So you're right. No, Amazon is definitely, I think they're number two, but Apple, I believe, is number one right now. And here's why, in my opinion, and it has to do with this book. What Apple's done is they've created what's called an integrated product suite. Okay. And that's what we're going to ask authors to do. with their 18 streams of income. Let me explain. Not everyone can afford a MacBook. Not everyone can afford a MacBook Pro, but then they have MacBook Airs. Then they have iPads. Then they have iPods. Then they have AirPods. Then they have Apple Watches. Then they have iPhones. In other words, Mike, what happens is Apple says we're going to create a integrated product suite. Mm-hmm. And it's an expression of the brand called Apple. And you can sample it, including iTunes, which is free. And they get everyone addicted to iTunes or using it. And now their customer base is like a funnel. And at the top, they have the lowest price point, and then it goes down, 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 and certain people can only afford certain products. That's what I want authors to realize. Their book is an integrated product suite. And today we're going to talk about how to create 18 different streams of income for different price points for different customers.
Well, that's great, because to use your example of Apple, when someone is so bought in to that product suite, they consider themselves an Apple person. You know, hey, I'm an Apple person. I'm a Mac person.
Yes.
And so it's kind of fun to think as an author, it's like, oh, there could be someone out there who will consider them your kind of person. Your book person. Like, oh, that they like just they love it. They breathe it. Well, you mentioned there's a difference between poor authors and smart authors. You mentioned that the difference is in how you package this book. Can we talk a little bit more about how poor authors and smart authors are different?
Yes. So, first of all, I think that poor authors think that the book sale is a transaction. And I used to do this. I used to like speak at places, and then they would come up and say, hey, Carrie, can I get your book? And I'd say, sure. And I felt like if I autographed this thing, it's almost like I would be saying to Mike, hope you have a good life. See you in heaven, hopefully. In other words, it felt like a transaction. Like I would never see these people again. I don't know what happens. And that's kind of how I viewed books. That's what a poor author thinks, that it's a transaction. A smart author, and I say smart, I don't really say poor and rich author, but I just think if you're a smart author, you will make money. The smart author says, my book is a transformation, and my book is a journey, and there's going to be other stops along the way. And I've seen this, Mike, you've seen this. We work together, and you've seen certain authors that maybe, or certain people email me, and maybe they came across a book 5 years ago, and now they're interested in a course. Or maybe they heard me speak in a college like 10 years ago, and now they want to come to a conference. In other words, I view my books as a permanent transformational invitation that's not just, oh, finish that book, done, and now I'm moving on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I love that, because I know I've been inspired when I've realized that a book is different from, say, a movie, even, where a movie comes out, everyone watches it, they enjoy it, hopefully, and then, you know, it is pretty quickly an old movie. You know, not many movies feel relevant for a long time, but your book is always available. You know, your book is there, and it's always that beginning of that relationship, that beginning of that transformation. I know so many books didn't reach the bestseller list, you know, for 7, 8, 10 years after they were published. That's because they can still have that transformative power, even if they aren't just released. And that provides a lot of hope, I think, to authors who maybe feel like they missed their prime. You're never past your prime. Your book's always ready to change lives.
I like that. I never thought of it like that. But you think about it. Today, billions of people read a 2,000-year-old book. Billions of people did not watch a 2,000-year-old movie.
That's
And that's really interesting to think. You know, that I'm gonna remember that. That was a good one, Mike. Good job.
Well, hey, you know, if I can contribute anything to this conversation, then hey, I feel fortunate to just be involved here, man. This is really good content here. Really good setting the premise here to start thinking about our books differently, to start viewing ourselves as a smart author who's recognizing the difference between a book that's just, you know, the end of a relationship or a transaction, and instead be the beginning of a relationship, a transformative relationship with a reader.
Yeah, can we hit, let's hit a couple of these quick headlines, because I think...
Yes, check them out.
Okay, so poor authors think their book is about them, while smart authors know their book is about their audience. That's huge. You know, we talked today about not getting bored with your own message. Musicians need to do this. I mean, I'm a big U2 fan. Bono is singing songs that he wrote 35 years ago.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Oh, and he needs to sing them with the same passion, even though he sang them 10,000 times. And if he doesn't, and his audience shows up at the concert and they don't play with or without you, it's like, oh my gosh, we feel ripped off. So I want authors to remember that they are performers, they're professionals, and they can't get bored of their message. And this moves into another point, which is that you can relaunch your book. Everybody who's listening to this right now, like you were saying, they don't need to say, well, gee, my book came out 3 years ago, so this 18 streams of income thing, man, it doesn't work for me. I mean, think about it, Mike. You can relaunch your book with a new version. So mm-hmm. You can say, hey, the audiobook is launching for the first time ever.
Or, oh, yeah, we're talking about these streams later. We'll get into that. And what a great point that you can use these other streams as another launch point for your same book.
That's a good thought, Mike. I like that. I mean, I know I said that, but I didn't say it quite like that. But yeah, technically, you could really have 18 launches, which is very interesting. So yeah, that's a big point. And then the other point, too, is that new cover. I mean, I've done this with Your Secret Name, Deeper Path, Day Job to Dream Job. I've released a new, updated, expanded version with a new cover and even a new subtitle. So sometimes you kind of launch and you're like, oh, man, I didn't put benefits in the subtitle. And no wonder it's not selling or the cover doesn't look right. These are all things that you can relaunch. And that's what smart authors do. And then the last thing that smart authors do, kind of to close out this one, is that poor authors focus on selling their book while smart authors focus on serving their audience. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you can serve your audience is this little tip I call newsjacking. Newsjacking is what I did with Shawshank, but it's saying, you know what? It's admitting that you're not the main focus. If I would say, oh my gosh, Day Job to Dream Job's coming out, I want to get on all kinds of news and TV, and I'm probably delusional. And some authors might not want to hear this, but I realize, you know what? Nobody cares about me. And nobody cares about Day Job to Dream Job, but they do care about Shawshank. And that takes a little humility to say that, because a lot of authors are like, what? What do you mean I can't be the focus on that TV show? I just realized, you know what? More people know about Shawshank and care about Shawshank than they do me. So I can either admit that or deny it. And if I admit it, then what I can do is I can newsjack and say, okay, now that that is a popular thing in culture, how can I hijack the topic and show why my book's relevant? So for example, right now in the news, there's a headline about a certain gymnast. Well, one of my books, Your Secret Name, talks about identity and how your identity can just become your sport. And if it just becomes your sport, you can then lose your identity if you get injured, or you can lose your identity if you don't get gold. So now, rather than say, hey, everybody, focus on my book, Your Secret Name, I say, hey, let's focus on the gymnast. And now the author of Your Secret Name can say something relevant to the cultural issue. Does that make sense?
It does. And your book is offering a solution to problems that people are experiencing and that problems that exist in the world. And again, we're not just talking about nonfiction. Your fiction story addresses an issue. Your children's book addresses an issue, a real issue that comes up again and again and again, just watching the news. And so this is the way you're saying that a smart author is going to serve their audience, because it's bringing your message to the place where people are already getting their content, getting their information, and saying, hey, this is a problem. This is a problem that we struggle with daily. Here's a solution. And that then becomes a serving. And it's not about you, because it's about this, the bigger issue. What a great concept to let sink in.
And really quick, last tip I give, because I'm passionate about this, but there's a website called Haro, Help a Reporter Out, it stands for. But this whole website is how, and by the way, they have free subscriptions, but it's how authors can literally sign up for alerts about topics that reporters are going in every day and saying, I need to quote an author on this topic. I need to quote an author on this topic, like for the news. And so they're specifically putting pitches out there where they're asking for an author on nutrition.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it's crazy. So that's a little tip. We didn't have that planned. But again, you know, I love sharing and adding value. And I would say as an author, there's a great tip on how NewsJack leads can come to you in your inbox every day.
Fantastic. An audiobook exclusive here. This is excellent. All right. We are pouring on the value. We're going to dig into these streams specifically now. We're going to take them a couple at a time, and we're going to unpack all 18 streams of income that can flow from your product suite surrounding your book. Let's get into it.